Good evening, ladies and degenerates. Welcome to the Steaming Pile of Picks podcast, week one of the college football season. I'm your very under the weather host, Matt. I'm joined by the never sick, always on top of his shit, Uncle Steve. Uncle Steve, how the hell are we doing tonight on the last day of August 2022?
We're doing really good, Matty. Recovered from watching that Husker beatdown on Saturday and ready to look ahead to this week.
Whoa, 34 seconds in and we're already hit it. I had an over under and it was 1 minute, so we got the unders on mentioning that sad state of affairs in Husker Nation for sure. So Steve and I met up last week to kick off season two of this podcast. We appreciate all of our listeners. New ones. We had quite a few new listeners last week. We gave some insights on week zero. Steve had a little hot streak going. He went 2-1-1 last week, but I leveled us out. I was my normal 1-2. We're going to give it a go again this week, but since we have a full slate of games, that's just way too many for Steve and I to kick back. So as we always do, it's time to get our guest pickers back in the mix. Kicking off this season's guest pickers, we have a bit of a celebrity, I guess. I teased this at the show last week, and I even tweeted it out. We have one of the nation's best pickers right here, ready to go tonight. He kicked us off last year, going 5-0-1, and in his opinion, he was 6-0. We have Jace from Norfolk. It's been a minute, brother, but how are you, and you ready to hit the books?
Gentlemen, and listen, if there's any honor in my life, it is being on this podcast.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is really class A work right here. Top shelf. This is solid.
Yeah, that's what we go for every single week. So
yeah.
Before we jump into games, Steve and I signed up for the Circa Millions contest a couple weeks ago. And our listeners don't know, but you finished in the top 10 in the nation in the Circa Millions contest and the Superbook, correct?
We did. That is correct. My partner and I struck gold. This is our third year of doing, well, this is going to be our fourth year of doing it. So our first year we tied for 101st, and second year was the COVID year. We got smoked, finished 1,000 something. And then last year we did really well. It was a blast. Tied for fifth in Circa and tied for seventh in the Westgate.
Nice. And that was some good work.
Go ahead. I know. It was so fun. I was just going to say, so Circa sent a note out to anybody within the top 10 that you could come down there for the weekend. They'd put you up and you could watch the games that last week at the sports book there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So myself, my partner, and then two other guys that we're friends with went out with us, and we just had a great, great time. Our fifth place came down to the last game, the Chargers and Raiders home game in Las Vegas, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so tons of fun.
That was good stuff, and I do remember you tweeting at Derek Stevens and Jeff Benson and asking them if you could come out for the weekend, and of course they made right on it because that's the type of guys they are out there for sure.
Yeah, they're really, really great guys. They treat everybody right.
Absolutely.
Matt, do you remember what we ended up last year?
We ended up in the bottom third.
About 2,800, I think.
Yep, about 2,800-ish, yep. So, yeah, actually almost
we're right
bottom.
There knocking on the door.
We were. And one quarter, we were within about a game and a half of getting last place, so. A last place finish would probably be our best case scenario.
Booby prize, yep. 100 grand.
And they pay. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll stick in there as well. All right, guys. So everybody knows how this goes. We're going to start with our guest picker, roll to Uncle Steve, and then I'll give a pick. We're going to go a few college games. I think we've each got four college games, and then because we have one of the nation's best NFL guest pickers, he's going to give us a little look ahead to next week's NFL slate. So, Jace, where are you starting in the college football world?
All right, boys, we're going to go with App State at, playing North Carolina. Appalachian State is at home. North Carolina's first trip to Boone, the hometown of Appalachian State. I got this at a I didn't even have the best number. App State, you can get now at +2, +1, +1.5. I actually locked it in at a pick 'em, which was a mistake. I thought I was getting ahead of the line, but I'm wrong. But App State's 5-0 against the spread. Their last five games against Power 5 schools. North Carolina looked abysmal last week against an FCS school that gave them a very, very good game through three and a half quarters. So I'm going with App State and the outright win on this game.
Ooh, money line action and covering that 2 points.
Yep.
Good work. All right, man. Uncle Steve, start us out.
All right, we're going to start with Kentucky and Miami, Ohio. 16 and 53. This is a 6 o'clock kickoff Saturday night. Miami, Ohio, 7-6 last year. They threw the ball pretty well. Their run game was not good at all. O-line's bringing a lot back. So they should be pretty good. Defense lost a lot, though, and their secondary was suspect. Kentucky, on the other hand, 10-3 last year. Will Levis, one of the top quarterbacks returning in the country. Great running back in Chris Rodriguez. Offensive line's rebuilding, so we'll see how they end up. And but I'm going to go with Kentucky here, -16 at home.
-16 at home, Kentucky. All right, I got you, Steve. Oh, where am I going to start? Well, our listeners know I love me some Minnesota games, so we might as well start rowing the boat. We got a Thursday night
game. You can't get off of him. You love P.J. Fleck.
P.J. Fleck, man. He's a 37.5-point favorite at home tomorrow night at 6. He's back. He's rowing his boat. He's talking some trash to old Frosty down south. He's had some facial work done. And I did some research, and he's a little better against the spread than I thought he would be after me losing so many picks with him last year. He's actually the third best coach in the Big Ten at 58% against the spread, and he's 67% in non-conference matchups, which this is one of those. So I was at the game last year that they opened up on a Thursday night against Ohio State. New Mexico State is not really that powerhouse of a team. But the interesting storyline on this thing is the coach of New Mexico State, Jerry Kill. I know that doesn't mean a lot to probably most people, but he was Minnesota's coach from 2011 to 2015. He brought a culture of smash mouth football, running the ball, playing defense. He actually brought the team to 8-9 wins and was doing really well. And then he had some health issues, had a few seizures, had to kind of hang it up in 2015. And then came P.J. Fleck, and Jerry Kill feels like P.J. had destroyed every single thing that he built here. In fact, this week in the press, Jerry Kill said, "I'm not shaking that guy's hand afterwards because he's ruined everything." So that's the big story up in Minnesota. Minnesota nice. PJ said he's going to go to the middle of the field and stand there. And if Jerry wants to come, he can come. So we do have a little film on New Mexico State already because they did play in week 0. They opened up as an 8-point dog against Nevada and they lost by 11. So
well, five turnovers will do that to you.
They did do that, but the first three turnovers were their first quarterback. And so they put in a second quarterback and he seems to be their guy. So I think they'll have a better quarterback going into this game. Jerry Kill's an old school football coach with roots in Kansas. He was actually the offensive coordinator at the Pittsburgh State Gorillas the year before I went there. I did not know that. Thanks, Wikipedia. But he has been known to run the ball everywhere he's been. He averages 68% run. So he's going to try to grind this thing out, play a little defense. 37.5 points is a lot. And one little stat, PJ Fleck has never beaten a team by more than 37.5 points in his coaching career in Minnesota. So I'm going with New Mexico State plus 37.5 Thursday night. You're up, Jace.
That post-game handshake is going to be worth the watch right there.
It will be. I might go tomorrow. No, I'm not going tomorrow night.
That's like Bill Belichick type stuff there after a game.
Absolutely it is, and they're making way more of it than needs to be made because I doubt P.J. Fleck even knew who Jerry Kill was when he came.
You don't want to money line that, huh, Maddie?
No, I'm not going to money line the 37.5 point dog. But
you need to sprinkle it. Sprinkle it.
I might. But no, I'm not going to. There might be a little sprinkling in my later picks.
All right, guys. Going tomorrow night. I'm with you tomorrow night. Purdue, Penn State, and I'm taking Purdue plus 3.5.
Whoa.
They have a very good quarterback. There's a ton of money already on Penn State, a lot of tickets being written on Penn State, and that line has only moved a half a point from 3 to 3.5. And you know how I like a good underdog.
Yes, absolutely.
The trends are against me. The visitors 7-1 against the spread the last 8, but they're only 4-4 straight up. But I'm going with Purdue, and I'm rolling with the Boilermakers here, getting 3.5.
Gotcha. Not going money line, just 3.5.
Nope. No money line.
All right. Got to ask these days. Everybody likes the money line pick, but smart bettors use the line to their advantage, right?
That's right.
Yes, absolutely.
Discipline.
Yes, discipline. It's a marathon, not a sprint. That's what Uncle Steve always tells me on Monday morning when I complain about my numbers. What you got, Uncle Steve?
We're going to head to Notre Dame at Ohio State. 17.5, 58.5. We got another Saturday night kickoff here at 6:30. Notre Dame, obviously, we know, got a new coach, and the players love him compared to the old coach. Yes. New quarterback, new receiver. The only thing good on their offense, I think, is their tight end. Probably the top tight end in the country, Michael Meyer. Their secondary is going to be good. They get a lot of turnovers on defense, but they're playing Ohio State. Number one scoring, total offense. They don't rebuild, they reload. Ohio State's covering this 17.5 pretty easy, I think.
Whoa, covering the big number in a big game.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
No love for Notre Dame. Aren't these two in the top 10, top 5?
It is a top 8 matchup, I believe. But
top 8.
Yeah. I think the Notre Dame coach noted the spread in his presser and said, yep, I'm going to take that to the locker room and use it for a little pregame hype. So
still got to play the game, Maddie.
You got to play the game. And he's writing checks, so we'll see if he can back it up.
This is what I like about Ohio State. This is what I like about Ohio State.
What's that?
You get they come out a little flat. They get down by a touchdown, field goal. Then you live bet them on the money line to win it, and it's glorious.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Ohio State.
They've even gone down to Nebraska a couple of times, so that's it. Yep. You are right. They are not one to take just like first half covering some 17, 18 point spread if they're a big favorite, for sure.
Correct.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Houston at none other than UTSA because we know I love the Roadrunners. Houston is a 4-point favorite at the Alamo Dome. Over under 62 on this thing. Houston coming off a great season last year. They did lose opening weekend of Texas Tech, but then they rolled off 11 straight, losing only to Cincinnati after that in the AAC championship game. But then they immediately bounced back and beat Auburn in a pre-New Year's Eve bowl. There's a lot to be excited about for Houston in 2022, according to all the media. They're returning all but two starters on offense, all but one on defense. They didn't get poached on the transfer portal. But are they good enough to be more than a field goal favorite on the road against the Roadrunners in the Alamo Dome? Come on. We know that I wouldn't have basically had a single call right last year if I wouldn't have been on the coattails of Jeff Traylor and UTSA last season. I keep a list. Everybody knows coaches who stink against the spread. Jeff Traylor is not on that list. I promise you that. In fact, Jeff Traylor is number 8 out of 108, batting 62% as a coach against the spread. Roadrunners themselves put together a 12-2 season, 7-0 at the Alamo Dome. I just absolutely have to look at Houston, Dana Holgorsen's record against the spread, because I just have to do my homework. Steve tells me I have to do that. Dana Holgorsen is 7-7 against the spread, the 7th best coach in the AAC. In the 8 games that he's been favored as a head coach, he's 4-4. So the last two stats make me run to the window with the Roadrunners ticket. Roadrunners plus 4 and, yep, I'm going to say it, money line on this thing. UTSA is outright winner at the Alamo Dome. All right, you're up, man.
Okay, I'm going with Brett Bielema and the Illinois Fighting Illini. You've already seen them play. They looked solid, but I think Indiana is horrible. And Illinois getting 3 and a little money line sprinkle because the winning team in this series has covered 14 straight.
Whoa.
And I'm taking Illinois all the way to the bank.
Wow, listen to that trend. That's a trend of nice proportions there.
What kind of line we got on that one?
Plus 3.
Plus 3.
Yes, it is. All right. Where are you going, Steve?
Well, we're going to Monday night.
Monday night,
7 o'clock kickoff. Clemson against Georgia Tech. Clemson, we know, down year last year. They only had 10 wins. Quarterback was not as good as anticipated. Saw where he kind of worked hard this year. I think I had him as a long shot in the Heisman this year. He dropped 30 pounds this offseason. They got too much talent to be lackluster. Playing this Georgia Tech team that was 3-9 last year. Bad offense, bad defense. Last two games they were outscored 100-0.
Ooh.
They're not changing. Yeah, they're not turning that around. Clemson's covering this 21.5 pretty easy.
There we go. 21.5 points. Clemson over Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech might be the worst team in college football this year.
Well, we know it's not UConn anymore, so
that's
we
right.
Might as well have a new one, right?
Did you see UConn's coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, I didn't know that.
We did not know that either until we saw him trot onto the field and
no.
We were shocked.
Yep.
And they covered. So there we go. So we can't fade UConn anymore, I don't think. At least for 30-point spreads.
They right. did lose their starting quarterback early last week, though, towards ACL. Really? Yep.
See, look, yeah. Eye test is what that was. Steve and his eye test. That's what we got. Well, I am going to go, another Thursday night game. Geez, I was just like, I didn't even get into the Saturday games. I got so excited about the Thursday slate. I'm going to go Central Michigan at Okie State. Okie State's a 21.5 point favorite, over under 59. We have number 12, I think, is where Oklahoma State's ranked, and they're opening up their season against the MAC. Chippewas of Central Michigan, they're coming off a 9-4 season in 2021, including winning their 4 regular season games, Final Four, and a bowl win against Washington State Cougars in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. New Year's Eve, I believe that was. They're returning most of their starters on offense, which was ranked 24th overall in 2021. But they did lose six of their 11 starters to the transfer portal. That's the type of number that makes a little bit of an impact. Oklahoma State, they were 12-2 as well in 2021. They're returning a senior quarterback, threw for 2,800 yards, also rushed for 600. But they also lost six of their top defensive players. And they were a top five defense in the nation. So I looked up Mike Gundy, and man, Mike Gundy, over 15 years, has made the gambling community really happy. He's got a 59% against the spread number. And with that clip, he's 19th best coach for handicappers to go with. But Jim McElwain, while he's fairly new to the head coaching ranks, he's the highest ranked coach in the MAC, and he's the fifth best coach in the nation at 66% against the spread. You know me, I like 66 way more than I like 59. So I am taking the Chippewas at plus 21.5 Thursday night. Jace, back up to you.
I think Coach Gundy cut his hair too.
Oh, no more mullet?
I think so. I'm not. I need to confirm that, but I thought I heard he cut his hair. So that might be like a Samson type. All the power, thing.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Man.
12-2 and rolling like crazy, and he cut off the mullet. Just when the mullet is like, I think it's mojo. A full swing. Yeah, absolutely. You got to add that mojo.
It's all business. All right. Yeah. Pick. This Four one's picks. Juicy. This one's juicy, and I'm actually taking a favorite.
Oh boy.
I'm gonna take Arkansas. I laid the six. I think it actually you might be able to find a 5.5, but I laid the six against Cincinnati.
Yes.
It's their first ever meeting, but Arkansas, 4-1 straight up and against the spread against FBS opponents in their home opener. And Coach Pittman is 5-0 straight up and 4-1 against the spread versus non-conference opponents in his early tenure at Arkansas.
Wow.
Arkansas is improved. They were okay last year. They'll be better this year. And they beat Cincinnati in the home opener.
Wow. All right. We got that. Plus, they have John Gruden, like, at their pep rallies, like, rooting them on. So, everything's going their way, man.
I saw that clip. I'm glad I made this play before I saw that on Twitter last night.
Yeah, make me cough. I'm not going to laugh. Never mind.
The apology.
Hey, kind of an apology.
Kind of.
Yes.
He's a good man. He's got a wife for 30 plus years. He goes to church.
Yep. That's all. That can explain a lot, I guess, in today's world. Yeah, I guess if you're going to get canceled, you can just give a boilerplate reason why you shouldn't be canceled, right?
Johnny. Yep.
Yeah. That was a pretty tear-jerking moment that I went through. So, all right, Steve, do you have a college football game number four? You didn't give one to me, but I feel you probably have one. All right.
I do. I've got Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, we've got South Dakota State at Iowa.
Whoa.
15.5 and 44.5 is the number I found.
You had to look deep.
I did have to look deep, but I did find it. Iowa has two quarterbacks in competition, and both are not very good. Their offensive line, not very good, and their running backs are inexperienced. Their defense will be strong, however, as they usually are. Last year, 9 of 14 games went under 44.5. And 7 of 10 wins went under 15.5. South Dakota State, top 5 FCS program year in and year out. They lost a few coaches. I think their offensive coordinator went to Idaho and took a couple guys with them. Lost a quarterback to the NFL, lost a running back to the NFL. But Mark Gronowski comes back from ACL tear in the national championship game 2 years ago. Isaiah Davis is just as good as Pierre Strong. Their tight ends, probably the best tight ends in all college football. Their receivers, they got some twins out of some small town, South Dakota, that are really good. And the 605 Hogs up front are always strong as can be. So I'm going with South Dakota State and the under on this one. It's going to be a grind out game, but they're going to get it done both ways.
What is that official line you gave me? 14 and a half and what?
15 and a half and 40, and a half. 44 and a half.
All right.
Oh, I love it, Steve. I love it.
That was some like research right there. The guy does his homework every night.
I love it emotionally because I hate Iowa, and financially because South Dakota State is number two in the FCS, and they are as good or better than most of the FBS schools.
There you go.
They're good. They're really
heard
good.
From both of these guys, I think I would run to the window with that pick. Well, I'm going with Virginia Tech at Old Dominion. Friday night game, so at least I made it off of Thursday. But Virginia Tech is a 7.5-point favorite. Over-under is 48.5. My first question is how Virginia Tech opens their season on the road to a Sun Belt, first year in the Sun Belt team. But that's my first question. But I don't imagine anybody has that answer. How Virginia Tech has fallen, I guess. I had to Wikipedia Old Dominion for a few stats, and they've had football since 2009. This is their first year in the Sun Belt, and their home stadium in Norfolk, Virginia seats 22,480 people. So there we go. I did my homework. But despite me having to Google who Old Dominion is and where they play, there's only one stat you need to know about this game, and that's their coach, Ricky Ronnie. Yes, that's spelled, or it's pronounced Ronnie, and it's spelled R-A-H-N-E. This guy is the second best coach in the nation against the spread. He doesn't mess around. He puts a good product on the field, and he covers spreads. So I am going Monarchs plus 7.5 at home on Friday night.
Great pick.
Great pick. Even Jace loves it. So when I know I'm doing good things. You're playing that just because I picked it? Absolutely.
I mean, you can't probably win the game.
Ooh, yeah. If it was straight up 7, then you know we absolutely sprinkle on the money line, but it's 7.5. So I'm only going to go Old Dominion plus 7.5.
They started out weak last year. They struggled. Then they got it going. Their last 5-6 games, they were so good.
They were good.
You're right.
That's a team
their
to
coach
watch.
Is legit.
Yeah, I agree. Not to watch like college football playoff or anything, but it's a team to watch this year against the spread. Maybe not getting enough love for how well they're going to play. So, well, that wraps up the college game. Unless Steve, Jace, you got anything else in the college world? I'm not even going to touch that Husker Notre Dame. I think it's 21.
North Dakota, you mean?
Yes.
Not Notre Dame.
Sorry, Indy. That's what I meant. North Dakota. I'm not even going to touch that game, but I think you and I and everybody else knows they probably aren't covering 3 scores. So if I had to go, that's where I'd go on that thing. But otherwise, we will kind of flip the script over to Jace, and he's going to give us a couple look-ahead lines to our NFL opening week. What do you have for us?
Yeah, so I haven't really studied yet like I normally do, but 3 games I'm looking at that I like. I like Miami laying 2.5 at home. They are going to be better this year, Miami. I think New England's going to be down a little bit. I think that coaching staff conglomeration that New England has going on is a train wreck with Matt Patricia and Mike Judge. He wrote
Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead. Yes, Joe Judge. I'm going to go with Joe Judge. Yes. And New England does not typically play well in Miami. So I'm taking Miami laying 2.5, just there under a field goal at home. I'm going to take the Las Vegas Raiders plus 3.5 against the Chargers.
Nice.
And I'm going to probably take Minnesota plus 2 at Green Bay.
Ooh, there you go.
Minnesota is, as much as I hate the Vikings, my sleeper pick for the NFC.
Ooh, I like it.
Like their new coach they got from the Rams. And I think Cousins is going to have a great Justin Jefferson is a player of the year material. I have a future bet on the Vikings to win the North, to win the NFC, to win the Super Bowl. Justin Jefferson to score the most touchdown receptions. So I'm big on the Vikings. I'm taking them week one plus 2 against Green Bay.
Sounds like you're a Vikings fan.
It feels that way. Man,
it's hard to say. I know. I don't like I like to win money. So,
man, that is true. But you gave me chills as a Northerner. So I'll tell all of my neighborhood buddies that one of the greatest picked them in a lot of ways this year. So we will have a lot of beers over ice because of those picks.
Well, to get together for the Super Bowl for sure. That'd be glorious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And maybe, maybe they'll play my Broncos. It'd be great.
Ooh,
no chance.
That's going to happen, but that's okay. But, hey, there's a lot of hype going on with that action, too.
Oh, a lot of hype. How about that for a look? How about that for a game? Russell Wilson at Seattle, week one, Monday night.
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful.
I kind of like Seattle. Really?
Getting 6.5.
Yeah, hard to bet against Geno Smith.
That's right. Geno and Pete Carroll teaming up.
That is a decent combo, but they didn't fare very well in the preseason. So we shall see. Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. Your guest picking abilities, a little insight for our listeners on what it takes to be in the money in these contests. I'm guessing you're going to be back this year to pick again. So we shall see you. I will send you your steaming pile of picks garb this week. Promise.
Perfect.
And we will be in there. Uncle Steve, words of wisdom?
Nothing this week.
Nothing this week, of course. All right. We are once again wrapping up a week. Make sure to give us a follow on Twitter, people, at Pile Picks on Twitter. Go to our new website. Like, we're rocking and rolling an actual website, steamingpileofpicks.com. You can just click on the link on the webpage, and you don't even have to, like, subscribe to Spotify or any of those crazy things because I had a hard time finding it anyway. So just go to our website, steamingpileofpicks.com. If you do have any feedback or want to tell JC's the best or Uncle Steve and I that we suck, steamingpileofpicks@gmail.com. And we end this program every week by saying, as they say in the investment world, past performance is not always a guarantee of future results. But as they say in the real world, if you step in it, if it looks like it and it smells like it, it's probably it. Good night.